time. It's always vanishing. The commute, the errands, the work functions, the meetings, selling your car. Unless you sell your car with Carvana. Get a real offer in minutes. Get it picked up from your door. Get paid on the spot. So fast, you'll wonder what the catch is. There isn't one. We just respect you and your time. Oh, you're still here? Move along now. Enjoy your day. Sell your car today. Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome in. College football full circle. Drew Martin, Mark Zeno, breaking it down the Saturday slate here, guys. We're keeping you updated if you missed anything on Saturday, which it was a jam-packed Saturday. I didn't hear a lot of people talking about it, how good the Saturday slate was. But if you were around your TV, you know, 3 o'clock Eastern time, 6 o'clock Eastern time, 7, 8, 9... Man, it was almost like you couldn't keep up with how much action was happening. Really good games on the Saturday slate. So we're going to be breaking it down here from a Vegas perspective, from a betting perspective, at Mark Zeno on Twitter, at Drew Martin Betts, at SportsGrid, at SportsGrid TV. We got Sirius Channel 159 listeners. Thanks for joining us, and radio affiliates across the country. Shout out to you as well. Mark, before we get into the individual matchups here, what were your overall thoughts from the Saturday slate?
I mean, great day of college football, a lot of fun and exciting games, some upsets you didn't see coming across the board. And so, you know, we're at that point of the season now where teams are starting to fight for their lives and realizing that every game starts to get really important. We're done with the non-conference schedule. We're into the heart of conference play, and everything's a little bit tougher.
And Mark, like this season, one thing that's coming to my mind is I've almost felt like in past seasons, there was like one, maybe two, three teams that could win the national championship by this point in the season. Guys, we just had week 7. We're literally halfway done, which is a little bit sad in a sense. But, hey, it is what it is. That's life. We got to roll with it. We're coming down the back nine here as sports bettors. But, Mark, I feel like there's probably more than 5 teams, if not 10 teams, that can win the national championship right now. You think I'm out of line in saying that?
No, I think it's wide open. I think it's as wide open as we've seen it in years. I mean, it really is. It's going to be fun down the stretch here, to say the least.
It absolutely is, guys. And another thing about it, it's like, which conference is the national championship even going to come from? We need to get FanDuel on that. Let's put up some numbers. You know, I don't know about right now if you can bet it, but, that is a bet you've been able to make in the past. That would be a fun one. As a lot of people saying, Pac-12, Conference of Champions, if you will. And their swan song is the best conference out there. Would you say that, Mark? Would you say it's better than the SEC and the Big Ten?
Yes, it's the best conference of college football this year. It's not even close.
Okay. Hey, SEC fans out there I know might not like that, but Pac-12 fans... We're rolling it now, guys. Conference of Champions. Bill Walton himself, you know he's happy about it. Oh, man. I don't know what that guy's going to do next year. But, Mark, let's get into the games. We got we'll go down in the rankings order, if you will. Georgia and Vanderbilt, the number one team in the country, is still the Georgia Bulldogs here, back-to-back national champions, going up against the lowly Vanderbilt Commodores. But I'll tell you this. You bet the Commodores, you cashed a ticket because you were catching 32.5. Georgia, 37-20. They gave up a pick six. Man, that was a tough one. 54.5 being the total. Gets up and over. It was in Nashville, although with all their stadium kind of construction that's going on with their SEC broadcasting deal, Vanderbilt's getting a bunch of money themselves each and every year, and they're spending it on their stadium and facilities. So there was a lot of Bulldogs fans in attendance, but it was a Vanderbilt home game. Georgia wins 37-20. Did you take anything away from this one, Mark?
Yeah. Still don't bet on Georgia laying anything more than a touchdown. Just don't do it. Why would you? Why would you? I mean, if they are laying, I mean, if one touchdown's egregious. If they're laying more than two touchdowns, if they're laying 14 and a half or more, just don't even waste your time. Just don't do it. It's not a good offense. That is not the number one team in the country. Like, if you consider objectively and make an argument for Georgia to be the number one team in the country, I got some oceanfront property in Baghdad to sell you. I mean, honestly, like, there is nothing about that team that screams dominant. There is nothing about that team that screams unbeatable. There is nothing about that team that makes me, that fears anybody. And now that Brock Bowers is hurt, they're even less dangerous.
Well, I know you're there kind of close to the program. Are you hearing anything with that injury? I mean, Brock Bowers going down, particularly with a team like you're talking about that's really all defense, and they need him. I mean, he's a quality player in the country. What are you hearing about how severe this injury is?
No word yet. I mean, you know, we should hear something tomorrow from Kirby Smart when he meets with the media. But, and again, Georgia fans are a little bit delusional in this sense. You know, they still think that they are the best team in the country and nobody's better than they are, and they're just not paying attention. So, yeah, I'm not buying anything that Georgia's selling right now.
And I thought that was a good point, Mark. Last thing on it, guys. In terms of laying big numbers with Georgia, one thing I always look to do is, does the head coach run it up? You know, is it a team that's looking to cover point spreads for whatever? He's making a bunch of money. He's back-to-back national champions. He's really not concerned with the point spread. I'll just leave you with that. I thought that was a good point by Mark. Guys, next game up, we can fit one more here in the first segment. Number two team in the country. Michigan Wolverines not having any issue here with Indiana, 52-7. They cover the total by themselves. They cover the 33.5. Anything from the big house on Saturday, Mark?
Well, if you bet Indiana in the first quarter, you won. They were up 7-0 in the first quarter. Then that was it. Michigan quietly still is one of the best four teams in the country. Like, we're forgetting how good Michigan is. They haven't made any noise this year. You haven't heard anything about them. Yeah, they've just quietly gone about their business. And they may be the team that people are forgetting about. We'll see. I mean, we saw what happened to them last year against TCU. So, but by all accounts, this is still, you know, going to be a really tough out for anybody.
Yeah, sitting at 7-0, 4-0 in the Big Ten. Of course, they got that Ohio State game looming on the onset, and you think any other team can get them in the Big Ten?
I think Penn State's more likely to get them than Ohio State would be.
Yeah, and it's pretty much just the top three, right? You wouldn't give another team with a puncher's chance to kind of catch them up.
I mean, if Iowa got Cade McNamara back, maybe, but nobody else has a shot.
And speaking of Ohio State, guys, they're next up here against Purdue. So we'll get that on the other side. We'll also hit Florida State, Syracuse, Penn State versus UMass. Man, if you're laying numbers with Penn State, I got a stat for you guys. And then we'll hit the Oregon and Washington game, USC and Notre Dame, all of that coming up. We got Alabama. They got a big game against Tennessee coming up next week. We can look forward towards that. And then Mark talked about it. Some upsets on Saturday. Pitt Panthers being one of them. 14 Louisville. Hey, they go 6-0 out the gate. They beat Notre Dame. And then the next week, they drop one outright as the favorite to the Pitt Panthers. We'll hit that one. Amongst others in the Pac-12 as well. Drew Martin, short break. We'll be right back. Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back in. College football full circle right here on Sports Grid each and every Sunday night. Drew Martin, Mark Zeno, breaking it down, going down in order by the rankings. We just hit 1 and 2, Georgia and Michigan, both winning. Michigan covering easy. Georgia not so much against Vanderbilt. Next game up, heading to the Big Ten. Shout out to Sirius Channel 159 listeners, radio affiliates across the country. Heading to Big Ten action with Ohio State, the number three team in the country, looking solid against the Purdue Boilermakers, 41-7, dominating fashion here. Purdue does get a touchdown in the fourth quarter. Game stays under. Buckeyes cover the 17.5 in dominating fashion. Did you take anything away from this Big Ten matchup here, Mark?
Purdue's not very good, particularly offensively, so they never really stood a chance. I mean, that's just honestly what it boils down to. I still don't think that much of this Ohio State offense with Kyle McCord, quarterback, and with Ryan Day calling plays. We'll find out how good they really are next week. Look, if Notre Dame could keep them in check, what do you think Penn State can do to them?
Yeah, it's interesting to see that line come out. What, 4.5, 5? Any early thoughts on it? I kind of like the Nittany Lions.
Yeah, I mean, I would take the Nittany Lions here. I'm still not a big believer in Ohio State at this point.
It's going to be a fun one. And that's early slate. That's 9 a.m. Pacific. So I believe, 11 a.m. local time kick there. We'll see what happens with Ohio State and Penn State next week. Next game up, heading to the Sunshine State Capitol here, Tallahassee, Florida. It was Syracuse at Florida State, number four ranked Florida State, who's sitting at 6-0, 4-0 in conference, and they win in dominating fashion. This one wasn't close, Mark. 41-3, that was the Noles on top of the Orange. Really never close. 53.5 being the total, stays under. Seminoles doing a lot there at home in Doak, winning in comfortable fashion, covering in comfortable fashion as well. Did you take anything away from Tallahassee?
Yeah, I mean, it was tighter probably in the first half than it needed to be. Florida State made some mistakes in the early part of the game. Mike Norvell was super aggressive, going for it on fourth down repeatedly in the first half, and it ended up working out, you know, overall in the game as they walk out of there with a win. But, you know, Mike Norvell is going to have some challenges ahead of him, particularly next week against Duke, which is a really tough defense. Syracuse is not. But they have the clearest path to the college football playoff of any team in the country, by far. You know, they have Duke next week at home. If they get past there, the only legitimate opponent they have left is going to be Miami, and Miami might not be that good by the time those two teams face each other at the end of the year. They won't see Clemson again in the title game unless they get help, because Clemson already has two conference losses, so they would need multiple other teams to have two conference losses, and they would have to have tiebreakers over them to get back to the ACC championship game. Remember, the divisions are gone in the ACC, so it's just the top two teams that are going to play for the ACC title. So that's going to change things a little bit.
Yeah, something to watch there in the ACC. That's a good point. Maybe easiest path to the playoffs might be Florida State, so something to watch there with the Noles guys. We got next game up, Penn State and UMass, 63-0. Penn State covers the 41.5. One that I was on here, Mark, and I'll tell you why, guys, as Penn State gets up and over the total themselves. The Minutemen didn't really stand a chance here, as it was, 28-0 at half, and then Penn State really poured it on in the second half. Don't look now, Mark. I haven't heard a lot of people talk about this, but the Nittany Lions, regular season-wise, they have covered 13 straight games. Man, I'm not looking to step in front of them. They got a head coach looking to run it up as well. Did you take anything away from Penn State's 63-0 victory?
There was absolutely no look-ahead spot for them for the Ohio State game. Anybody who thought that might have been the case, UMass was not the opponent that was going to trip them up. So, Ohio State's defense is really, really good. That's the one thing I will say for them. It's the one thing that's been saving them. And if Ohio State's going to be saved next week, it's going to be by their defense, and they're going to keep Penn State to under 20.
Next game up, guys, heading to the Conference of Champions. Biggest game on the slate for Saturday, and it was a good one, an entertaining one anyway, with the Oregon Ducks going down to the Washington Huskies, 36-33. Depending what number you got, it was 3, 3.5. Oregon does cover if you got the hook on the 3, 66.5 being the total, landed right around that number as well, getting up and over. Dan Lanning, he had some questions to answer in the post-game conference here. Just going for it for two. They did get that first one, and then Really going forward for fourth down a lot. Not that it was the wrong decision, but it didn't get them in the winner's column. Not that the Ducks are out of it either, Mark. I'll tell you this, you know, with one loss out of the Pac-12, particularly this year, if they win all the games the rest of the way, they might find themselves in the playoffs. But great game overall. I'll throw it over to you. What'd you take away from Seattle?
Well, no, it wasn't a great game overall because I took what should have been a cover and walked away with a push. That's number one. Number two, if you watch me on Sports Grid at all this week, the exact handicap that I gave out is what came to fruition because I said that the Oregon defense would show up and keep Washington to under 30. And if they did that, like I said, yes, this could end up a 45-42 final, but the more scoring didn't benefit Oregon. It benefited Washington to be able to keep scoring. That the best way for Oregon to win this game was to limit Washington to under 30 points. If Arizona kept Washington to 31, Oregon's defense should have easily been able to keep them under 30. They did that for exactly 58 and a half minutes until Dan Lanning decided to be an unconscionable boob and make a moronic decision. And here was the key. It wasn't so much that he went for it on fourth down. It was that he chose not to punt the ball away when Washington had no timeouts left, zero ability to stop the clock. If you trust your defense, why wouldn't you ask them to go the length of the field? I didn't even have a problem with him going for fourth down as much as he did and not taking field goals earlier. Right? Because guess what? Your team was good enough to come back and take a lead. They owned them from the late part of the third quarter into the fourth quarter. They had all the momentum. And they gave it right back to Washington with a short field. Now, look, they had a chance to go back and tie the game. Idiot kicker missed it. Of course, that's what happens when you leave it up to an idiot kicker. They always miss in those spots. They're choke artists, especially college ones. And I'm not saying anything about that young man in particular, just it's my feeling on kickers across the board. Everybody knows that. Dan Lanning made an asinine decision that probably cost his team a shot at the Pac-12 title and a chance to go to the college football playoff. That's how much idiotic coaching will get you. I don't know what happened to coaching in football these days, but between college and the pros, it looks like a bunch of idiots who spent too much time playing Madden as a kid and not enough time understanding the game of football and the way to win a football game. If your defense is that good and it's top five, you don't ask your defense to stop half the field. You tell them to go stop them the whole field because I guarantee you Washington doesn't drive the length of the field on that Oregon defense. It just doesn't happen. But you gave them all the momentum and every reason to get that crowd energized and feeling like they had a shot with an idiotic, moronic decision not to punt that football away.
I guess I got to play devil's advocate here. We got about a minute left, Mark. What about, you know, you want to win the game with your offense on the field. You know that Washington's offense is that great. Sure. Why
okay.
put that unit go. Up against them?
It was second and 10. They ran for 8 yards. I'm sorry. Yes, they ran for 8 yards on second down. It became third and two. If you were committed to your offense being on the field, 100% committed to your offense being on the field, then you call a third down play that makes you a yard or gets you the first down. You don't run a dive right up the middle into the thick of their defense and lose a yard to fourth and three. If you would have got a yard to make it fourth and one, we have a different conversation. But that's the problem with the coaching. He's not prepared to go all four downs because his third down play didn't set up his fourth down play. His third down play was a play to kill the clock, force him to use a timeout, and thought it would get a first down. It didn't, and he failed, and that's why fourth down failed.
Fair enough. Mark Zeno on Twitter, at Mark Zeno, at Drew Martin Betts, at Sports Grid, at Sports Grid TV. Guys, stay with us. We got USC Notre Dame on deck. Short break. Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back in. College football full circle. If you missed anything on Saturday, you are tuning into the right show as we are covering these games, top 25 games from a betting perspective. Sirius Channel 159 radio affiliates across the country. This is Sports Grid. I am Drew Martin, joined by Mark Zeno. We got next game up, number 10. USC Trojans went on the road to South Bend, Indiana, and go down 48-20. That was the Irish on top. Game gets up and over the 60.5, and Notre Dame covers -3 home favorite pretty easily. You could have got 2.5 as well. But Mark, the Irish looked good there, and USC, you know, kind of all offense coming in. People kind of knew that, but only able to put up 20 points here. Caleb Williams, not his best showing. Did you take anything else away from South Bend, Indiana, Saturday night?
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to win a football game when you turn it over five times. They still outgained Notre Dame in the game. Had more first downs, outgained them. I mean, you know, can't turn five times. They lost the game. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. I don't know that Notre Dame was the better team. I know USC made five more mistakes than they couldn't have made. I mean, you know, and again, this is an 11-point game in the fourth quarter with 9 minutes left. Do we suppose that if USC hadn't turned them much as they did, that USC doesn't come out and win this game? I mean, USC's defense didn't play terrible for as bad as it was. I mean, their first, you know, drive of the game was an interception. I mean, they gave up a fumble return for a touchdown. They had two fumbles in the fourth quarter. It's just it was an absolute mess. Three interceptions. You can't win football games that way. So USC beat themselves.
Yeah, Notre Dame did get a couple late interception too to make the score look a little bit more inflated. But either way, 48-20. Irish on top, up and over. They win and cover easily. We got next game up, heading to the SEC, SEC West in particular. Arkansas, the Razorbacks at Alabama, the Crimson Tide. 24-21, closer than the experts thought, with Alabama laying 19.5. Not coming close to covering that, Mark. 45.5 being the total, right near there. Just a hook towards the under if you bet the under. Total sweat. But, Mark, what'd you take away from Tuscaloosa, Alabama, and the close Alabama win, Arkansas cover?
I mean, Alabama's defense is getting better each week. It's just something to look out for. I don't know that there is a defense that's playing as good as they are in the country over the last couple of weeks. Their offense doesn't have to be very good. And, again, I wrote down Arkansas plus 19.5, 20.5, whatever the number was, as soon as it popped up last week because – you know, Alabama was in a prime look-ahead spot this week with Tennessee on deck and a major revenge game coming up this Saturday. So I wasn't really too focused on, Alabama being able to cover this number. But again, their defense is really, really good. And that play by KJ Jefferson where he threw the defender off him was pretty impressive. Even Nick Saban thought so.
Guys, next game up, we'll head to the ACC, Chapel Hill, North Carolina. That was the UNC. Tar Heels here, 41-31 over the Miami Hurricanes. And this was, you know, talked about at the top of the show here, prime time, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock Eastern. It was just tough to keep up with. This is one of the games that made my TV. It was an entertaining game, Mark. At the end, Miami goes down by 10. UNC looking strong. Game gets well up and over the 56.5. UNC wins and covers. Miami now dropping two in a row here. Mario Cristobal just 1 week removed from that not kneeling it situation. Now they drop two straight. Kind of worried about the Hurricanes down the stretch. But what'd you take away here Saturday night in Chapel Hill?
Another team that had four turnovers in the game with three of them coming in the second half. Look, Miami has a 17-14 lead headed into halftime. They come back out after halftime, and they give up a touchdown. They fumble, right? Then they throw an interception. Then they punt. Then they turn it over on downs. By that time, they're down 35, and the game's over. I mean, that's, you know, ultimately, third quarter was everything. So it's how it went down for them. Miami had the game in their hands, and they gave it away. I don't think it had anything to do with coaching or anything else. It had a lot to just do with making mistakes.
Yeah, don't look now, guys, but the Tar Heels 6-0, 3-0 in the ACC. Mac Brown, he's got his team playing some good football here. Second most winningest active coach, by the way, only behind Nick Saban. That's Mac Brown, national champion winner with Vince Young in Texas. Something to watch there in North Carolina going forward. Next game up, we got Louisville and Pitt staying in the ACC here with number 14-ranked Louisville Cardinals. Going down, Mark Zeno. So they just beat Notre Dame. Now they lose as more than a touchdown favorite here on the road against Pitt. 44.5 being the total. Gets comfortably up and over. Pitt covers. Pitt wins outright. What'd you take away from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania?
Well, this was a prime letdown spot for Louisville after beating Notre Dame, right? Like it's set up, everything's set up going against a worse team with a bad offense on the road. Louisville just, you know, laid an egg, and it was expected. Pittsburgh is not good. Their offense isn't that good. I don't think they'll score 38 points again the rest of this year in any given game. So this was more about Louisville just absolutely laying an egg after a big win against Notre Dame.
Heading to the Conference of Champions up next here, guys. We had Cal at Utah, Salt Lake City. Utah now 5-1 as they win 34-14. They cover the 10.5, looking strong, doing so at home. Game gets up and over 44.5. Kyle Whittingham's got the boys playing some good football. They got a tough stretch down the end here in the Conference of Champions, but you know they got their eye on making the conference championship. They're in the Pac-12, and who knows, maybe an outside shot at making the playoff. What'd you take away from Salt Lake Saturday?
I really wish that Kyle Whittingham would just name a starter or tell us that Cam Rising isn't coming back anymore, because I can't bet them each week because I don't know who's starting at quarterback. Like, I wanted to bet Utah, but at 10.5, it was too big of a number for me because I just don't know what their offense is going to be week in and week out. And if Cam Rising comes back and what that's going to do, I mean, their defense is still very good. We know that. I didn't really think Cal stood much of a chance in this game, but it's just hard to figure out Utah, not knowing who, and I think Kyle Whittingham actually likes this whole deal every week where he dangles out there what quarterback is going to start and, you know, keeps defenses guessing. And in the meantime, you know, it's just really hard to back the Utes in certain spots, especially when it's hard to back the Utes as a favorite because of not knowing the quarterback situation.
Sure. So it's almost a competitive advantage, you know, one of the better coaches, in my opinion, in college football, dangling that out there, like you said, it makes them prepare for a little bit more. And sure enough, they win by 20 points against the Cal Golden Bears. Next game up, we'll head back to the Atlantic Coast Conference with the Duke Blue Devils beating NC State 24-3. So Duke going with the backup quarterback, Riley Leonard, injured. They cover the -4, 42.5. It stays under. This Duke defense, pretty good. Also, maybe some of that NC State's offense, not so good. What'd you take away from Durham?
The real question for Duke's defense is, have they seen an offense as good as Florida State's yet this year? And I think the answer is no. Clemson, I could say yes, but you know, that Clemson week one is not the Clemson now. But other than that, when you look at the complement of offenses they've faced, Lafayette, Northwestern, UConn, and NC State. I mean, I know Sam Hartman played really well against FCS schools and Group of Five schools, but what does he look like since he started playing Power Five schools? It doesn't look all the same. So this is the best offense by far that Duke is going to face this year. And I don't know how prepared they are for it. I genuinely don't. By far, it's the best quarterback they've faced this year in Jordan Travis. And I don't know that they're necessarily prepared for it.
Duke sitting at 5-1. They're only lost to Notre Dame. They're 2-0 out the gate in ACC play. So 24-3. Big winners there. Good atmosphere, by the way, in Durham. That was a packed house Saturday night. We got next game up heading to the SEC. Texas A&M and Tennessee. 20-13. That was the Vols on top of the Aggies as they move to 5-1. Texas A&M goes down, now sitting at 4-3. It's a pretty talented 4-3 team, but either way, guys, Tennessee wins, they cover, the game stays under. What'd you take away from Knoxville here, Mark?
Tennessee kind of got lucky. Yeah, I mean, they had one offensive touchdown in the first quarter. They didn't score a touchdown the rest of the game. Tells you that A&M's defense is really, really good. A&M's offense has not been good as of late. It's been part of the problem. So, you know, that fourth quarter was very beneficial to Tennessee. But, you know, you have a missed field goal from A&M, an interception, and an interception that might have gotten A&M tie game or lead at some point. Just tough, you know. Tennessee probably got a little bit lucky. As far as covering the numbers is concerned.
We can fit one more here. Heading to the Pac-12 up next. Arizona in surprising fashion over Washington State, 44-6 as the underdog of 7.5. 58 was the total. It stays under. Wildcats, man, they gave USC all they could handle 2 weeks ago. Looking strong back-to-back weeks here. Did you take anything away from this Pac-12 matchup, Mark?
Noah Fifita is playing very well. And Arizona's defense is very good. And this is a team right now that, you know, looks like they are better than people have ever given them credit for. I think the sort of wheels have come off the wagon here for Washington State and Cam Ward. Cam Ward had an excellent start to the season, but it's just not been good for him the last two games. I had Arizona plus the 8. Didn't know if they were going to win the game outright, but also didn't think that they were going to be able to keep, you know, Washington State scoreless in the last three quarters of the game. So, yeah, Washington State's got some things to fix. They might be headed for a downturn here after a fast 4-0 start.
Sure, not a lot of breaks in that Pac-12 conference schedule either, guys. We got some more games to recap here. Auburn, LSU, Kansas, Oklahoma State, Missouri, Kentucky. We'll take a look ahead towards week 8 in college football in the opening lines. Mark Senno, Drew Martin, Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back in college football full circle right here on Sports Grid, Sirius Channel 159 radio affiliates across the country. Thanks for joining us. I am Drew Martin, joined by Mark Senno. As we're breaking down the Saturday slate, if you missed anything, we got you covered from a betting perspective. Auburn LSU up next, heading to Baton Rouge, 48-18. That was LSU on top of Auburn, winning and covering. It was a rowdy atmosphere there in Baton Rouge, and Auburn really couldn't handle it as they moved to 3-3. LSU 5-2, 4-1 in conference. Not too competitive really the whole way. Does get up and over for 60.5. LSU wins and covers the 11.5. Did you take anything away from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, Mark?
Yeah, that Auburn's offense stinks. I mean, they're a very incompetent offense. They're not good. And the game they played against Georgia was the one outlier of the year. And again, they still only scored 20 points in that game. Their defense just played really well and held Georgia to 27. So, you know, but Auburn at home next week should be very, very interesting in their game. And, you know, LSU, I think they get a bye next week, if I recall correctly. Regardless, I just, you know, you can't have a quarterback in Peyton Thorne who can barely throw for 100 yards. You're not going to be competitive in a football game at this level. So Army or Air Force like that, you're not going to have any chance to stay in a game.
Yeah, Peyton Thorne, the experiment, I thought it would go a little bit better for Auburn as he transfers in from Michigan State, but I don't know. It really hasn't gone that well. Almost like they should play the other kid a little bit more. But, hey, we'll see what happens. Auburn at home against Ole Miss next week. We'll be able to take a look at that towards the end of the hour here, guys, as we got two more recaps to get to as we'll head to Stillwater, Oklahoma, in a tightly played game here, 39-32. That was Oklahoma State, the Cowboys, on top of the Kansas Jayhawks, Mark. Kansas goes down outright as the three-point road favorite. 54.5 was the total. Gets up and over that pretty easily. What'd you take away from Kansas, Oklahoma State?
Once Mike Gundy decided to settle on one quarterback, look what finally happened to the Oklahoma State offense, right? They actually started playing legitimate football. They 20 Iowa State, even though they lose the game, tough place to play. Alan Bowman throws for 278 and two touchdowns. They scored 29 at home against KSU and beat them in an upset. And then they scored 39 at home against Kansas and win and beat them, as Bowman had his best game of the year with 336 yards and two touchdowns. The quarterback carousel thing doesn't work. I know Gunnar Gunny and Garrett Rangel were getting reps earlier on in the year, but once they finally started settling in on Bowman as their guy, their offense has looked a lot better.
Yeah, I remember Bowman at Texas Tech. He was pretty good. So it's, hey, something to watch. Maybe Oklahoma State might find something offensively. Could be a good bet going forward here, guys. Last one for the top 25, then we'll take a look ahead towards some of this upcoming week's lines. 38-31, that was Missouri on top of Kentucky. Kentucky went off as the two-point home favorite. 50.5 was the total. Gets up and over. Kentucky goes down outright as that short favorite. What'd you take away from Lexington, Mark?
I had Missouri plus a 2.5, and I knew they were the better team here. I was surprised that Brady Cook didn't have to have like a stellar night to go ahead and you know, win this game. Luther Burden didn't even have a great day at wide receiver. So it was a Missouri defense that took advantage of a bad bad, bad Kentucky offense. I know that Ray Davis had 128 yards, but Devin Leary is awful. He's just not a quarterback at this level anymore that you can trust. He did throw two touchdowns. He also had two interceptions, bad ones. But, you know, Kentucky went up 14-0 and then scored one touchdown the rest of the game. So they got outscored 38-7 in the final three quarters of the game. It just, you know, it was a game where Mizzou's offense really set the pace and the tempo. And, you know, you look at it from that's Missouri's offense is really, really good. And they're going to be a team that could trip somebody up unexpectedly in the SEC. They'll get South Carolina this week. Then they get a bye and they go, you got to travel to Georgia. And Georgia, that's the game after Florida and the cocktail party. So could be a letdown spot for Georgia as well, who still may have – when does Georgia get Tennessee? I forget. But I have to double-check their schedule. Regardless, you know, Missouri could give Georgia some issues if they have to. I mean, and real quick, by the way, for Georgia, Drew, after Florida, their three next three games are Missouri, Ole Miss, and Tennessee. If I asked you to lay odds right now that Georgia loses one of those three games, what are you laying them at?
Let's say +125.
Yeah. I think that's where Georgia gets stripped up. It doesn't change anything for the Bulldogs. Yeah. I think they lose one of those three games. They won't lose to Florida. But they'll lose to, you know. Ole Miss is going to be a challenge. Now, they get Missouri and Ole Miss at home, but they do have to go to Tennessee. Hopefully Tennessee can get their act together. Joe Milton has not been impressive to this point.
Yeah, I think Georgia's going to get Tennessee. Ole Miss might be interesting. And, you know, that Florida Gators team, man, 1 week they look pretty good, and then the next week they don't show up. They're kind of a tough handicap. I don't know if they're going to be able to pull it together. But, guys, let's take a look ahead towards Saturday, October 21st slate. Do you want to talk any weekday matchups? I mean, it's pretty cool what Conference USA is doing, playing Tuesday, Wednesday football. I like it personally. Have you been betting any of that, Tuesday and Wednesday stuff?
A little bit here and there. It's, you know, those conferences are not my 100% specialty. So, you know, I sort of tail other folks where I see appropriate. Okay.
Well, top of the card here, we get off maybe the biggest game. I know College Game Day going there. Penn State and Ohio State, 12 noon Eastern. So not a whole lot of tailgating time there for the Buckeyes and Nittany Lions fans. But either way, as sports bettors, -4.5 is what I'm seeing right now, Mark. And that is the Buckeyes as the home favorite. There's a couple -5s out there, 48 being the total. Any early thoughts here with the Nittany Lions and Buckeyes? Maybe the game of the day.
I'd take the under. 48.5. Okay. Yeah, I'd take the under. I think Penn State.
I kind of like Penn State.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, you like Penn State too as a side. Should be a fun one, guys. In the horseshoe, Penn State, outside of that TCU game, has covered 13 straight. So 13 straight regular season games for James Franklin and company. I'm not stepping in front of him right now. I think Penn State's the side as the dog. Maybe sprinkle a little bit there on the money line. We got prime time in South Florida, Clemson and Miami. We're seeing Clemson 2.5 or 3-point road favorites on the opener, 50 being the total. Can Miami bounce back coming back home? I'm worried about them kind of falling off like we've seen in past years with this Hurricane team. When they start losing a couple, that second half of the season, it can get ugly. You liking anything with the Tigers and the Canes?
I lean Clemson there. Clemson's coming off a bye, so... You know, they at least have that in their back pocket and have had 2 weeks to prepare for a Miami team that has been a mess the last 2 weeks. It's a short number. It's short enough for me to back Clemson on the road. It's not exactly like Miami presents this large home field advantage that you have to worry about.
Mark, there's an interesting handicap here in the Big 12. You were just talking about Oklahoma State. Alan Bowman as the quarterback looking a lot better. They're on the road at West Virginia. And I'm seeing WVU, the Mountaineers, -3-point home favorites. Can be a tough place to play. Oklahoma State playing better offense, and West Virginia coming off of that game, if you remember, giving up the Hail Mary at the end of Houston. So what they have is that tough loss and extra preparation time at home. I like that part of the handicap towards the Mountaineers. But even more so, I think the Cowboys is what you talked about, kind of a spark offensively. Tricky handicap, a good one. Do you like anything in the Big 12 matchup?
I would tend to think that West Virginia may end up being the sharp square dog. I could see a lot of people running to bet that number with West Virginia because they shouldn't be a favorite in this spot because they're not that good. And Oklahoma State has had two pretty convincing victories over good programs the last 2 weeks. And why would West Virginia be favored in that spot? But, you know, again, I have a hard time backing certain offenses, and West Virginia is one of them.
Yeah, fair enough. Neil Brown, he was on the hot seat, get a couple big wins, but who knows what happens in the future. Tough game for the Mountaineers. Another good one Saturday night, Duke and Florida State. The odds makers saying it's a 2-touchdown spread here. That's the Noles at home in Doak Campbell, 49 being the total. Big question here is going to be Riley Leonard, the Duke quarterback. Does he play? Does he not? Watching him in the warmups, he didn't play last week, but he was out there throwing, had his ankle kind of taped up. I almost thought he was going to go. The backup played. They won the game kind of in comfortable fashion. He looked decent. But Florida State's kind of a new animal here. This Duke defense is improved. 14 points. You like it anything here in Tallahassee?
I mean, I know a lot of people want to take the points here at Duke. There's a couple of games this week when you look at the number, you go, that's a big number. But it's big for a reason, because there is a huge delta between these two teams. And the delta is simply that, you know, Florida State's offense and the quarterback, that's Jordan Travis, is the best complement of anything that Duke has seen this year. I've read off the defenses before that they've played, or the quarterbacks that they've played. Could you say Sam Hartman? Yeah. But Sam Hartman doesn't have the weapons that Florida State does all around, between Hamilton and Wilson at wide receiver, Benson at running back. I mean, this is a whole different level of offense here that they're going to face. So from that standpoint, yeah, I mean, I think this is absolutely a spot where Florida State can cover this number.
Mark, I got one for you here. I know you're a veteran, an Army veteran, but we got Air Force and Navy. And I'll tell you this, Mark, Air Force, they're finally getting some recognition here, cracking the top 25, number 22 overall. Their quarterback's good. They run that option. They're laying 10 as the road team, 37.5 being the total. I like this Air Force Falcons team, Mark. I do you have anything on them? Do you bet the military academies at all?
No, I bet the Army-Navy game. That's it.
Okay. Have you seen Air Force play at all?
No, but I know what those are. How good they run the ball and how much they control the clock. And it's a very tough style to play. That's for sure.
Man, looking at a couple other, anything else popping out at you here?
I mean,
maybe
UCF should not be able to hang with Oklahoma.
And yeah, UCF.
That number
18.5.
Yeah. I would think that would be a 20.5 by midweek. That's my guess. I don't think UCF should be able to, but, you know, I mean, look, Oklahoma's coming off the big win against Texas. They had a bye week. So, you know, it's not like they have this letdown spot that you have to worry about because they had a bye week. So, you know, I know what they score at home, Oklahoma. It's a lot.
Yeah, Dylan Gabriel going up against his former team. Interesting side note there. And you can get 18. Mark thinking it's going to jump up near 3 touchdowns. Short break, guys. We'll be right back. Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back into Sports Grid, college football full circle, final segment, but no worries, we got NFL Pro Football Full Circle on the other side here, guys, as we're going to recap everything from the Sunday slate. So if you missed anything, we have you covered. He's Mark Zeno. I'm Drew Martin. Sirius Channel 159 radio affiliates across the country. So final segment here for the college slate, Mark. I guess we didn't talk about Tennessee, Alabama. If you like anything there, Crimson Tide minus 9.5, 47.5 being the total. That one in Tuscaloosa. And any other final thoughts here for the Saturday upcoming slate?
Yeah, I mean, you know, again, I would lean on Alabama. Their defense is really, really good. And I don't think Tennessee's offense is particularly all that good. Oregon is another one of those games where they're laying 18.5 at home against Washington State, and a high total of 60.5. Do you think Washington State continues to fall apart? And how does Oregon bounce back after that game? And what sort of showing do they have against Washington State? I would tend to think Oregon covers that number. And I know I was down on Auburn's offense, but Ole Miss coming off a bye, going into Jordan-Hare is a very interesting scenario for Lane Kiffin. It feels like the spot where he drops his second game and they go from a team that, you know, had hopes of a shot at the SEC West title and a New Year's Six Bowl to a team that finds themselves in the Independence Bowl. So, you know, Jordan-Hare is better than anybody, Drew, and they're laying a very short number of 6.5 for a reason.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that number is very telling. Why is an Ole Miss, you know, a 13, 14-point favorite? Jordan-Hare at night, it can be a house of horrors for teams. Texas A&M last year went in there, went down outright. So that will be a fun one Saturday on the Plains. Guys, we'll be right back. Pro Football Full Circle. Stick with us. Sports Grid.
Hey, football fans. Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.